A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, Egg Chasers. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, a podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. And, well, two-thirds of us are here in the rugby dungeon reflecting on a big day, the Lions squad announcement. JB, yeah. How
are
you doing?
I'm very well, mate. How are you?
I'm all right. Phil's out for dinner.
I know, pathetic, isn't it?
That's unreal.
Outside. I know.
Who'd want to be outside in this?
I'm delighted that he's having a miserable time.
He will be as well. I haven't been in a single pub garden yet, and the weather has put paid to that for the time being. So
I went for a pint last night. Went for a nice long walk around Didsbury, and then we stopped off and had a singular pint, and it was lovely.
Was Lions the topic of conversation last night?
No. The only Lions news that cut through the chatter of daily life, because I was out with civilians yesterday, was Mike Phillips. So do you hear what Mike Phillips tweeted?
Nope.
He tweeted something along the lines of, if you're thinking about being a Lion tonight, it's not for you. Lions, no.
Wow.
And that did get their attention. So that's the only bit of Lions chat that we had on.
Do you think Courtney Laws or Johnny Hill knew? Or Bundy Aki, do you think they knew?
Well, I mean, we'll hear from Courtney Laws himself very soon.
Yes, that's a very good point. On this podcast, we have already brought you two podcasts in your feed right now. This is a third, and this one is going to feature two 2021 British and Irish Lions and also going to feature a very special announcement. Hopefully, through this effort and this time and this graft that we're putting in, and JB on getting the two guys to be revealed in a little bit on the phone, when there must have been so many people asking for their time. If that's not enough to get your support by hitting subscribe in your podcast feed, go into our YouTube channel and supporting us on Patreon, because all these things are only possible because of the people that support us, and thank you very much for that. Patreon.com/eggchasers. Then, get involved. Because for a bunch of no-ones with no backers,
nobody's,
starting it
nobody's
from the ground up, doing all right.
We're such nobodies. We were mentioned on The Rock by Stephen Jones. that's what nobodies that we are.
So, so all of that's coming. And as JB says, he's managed to fix up. I haven't heard the interviews yet. I'm really looking forward to them. But two British and Irish Lions. Did you watch the whole live stream or program or whatever you did?
Oh, God, it wasn't good, was it?
I caught bits and bobs because I was getting ready to
Lucky
do my radio.
You.
I was getting ready to do my radio show. So truth be told, I was in a meeting and I had it on my phone just glancing over every now and again. But I was talking about the NFL draft at the weekend's podcast going, we need to make more of a sense of occasion and enjoy the process. And I saw a lot of people saying, can't they just get on with announcing the names? And I understand that, but also I quite like the attempt to make a big event out of it.
Problem is, I feel like I've heard it all before. Look, I'm not a good person to ask, okay, because I'll hold my hands up and say I'm guilty of being too cool for school. I'm not bothered about the Lions. I really am bothered. I didn't even realise I was bothered until after the announcement. I think I was just putting it to one side, and I didn't really enjoy the production they put on. Not necessarily because it's a bad production, although it wasn't a good production, but that's not their fault. They couldn't do much, I think, because of COVID.
Yeah.
You know, they couldn't have the usual song and dance. That's not their fault. They did the best that they possibly could. But I think the reason I didn't enjoy it is because I was trying to put it to the back of my mind. I didn't want to deal with it when it came out. And also, I was silly. I fell for a spoof Lions announcement last night, which you should never do. You should never do. There's one making the rounds, wasn't there? Because simultaneously, some of the press had got wind of Sam Simmons and Alan Wynne-Jones. and disinformation merchants on social media managed to sort of weave that into a League the Lions squad. And I've got to say, I did fall for it. I did comment on that on a few social media groups. So I thought that I knew the team. I didn't know the team. And do you know what? Delighted, because I'm very, very happy with this team.
Yeah. A lot of my thoughts on the YouTube videos picking my squad, a lot of my thoughts, well, 29 out of my 36 choices. Warren Gatling picked 37, and we'll get onto that. Mm. But 29 of them were the people that I picked. And let's talk about the ones that we didn't see coming. Top of that list, Bundiaki.
Do you know, I feel stupid for not mentioning him.
Yeah.
I really do. How did we overlook Bundiaki? He has so many different facets to his game, but one more than anything else.
We just need to stop that buzz. There's a little buzz on your... Oh. Just, it's fine. There you go, it's gone. Good. Sorry.
Yeah.
Carry on.
One facet, which is probably more than anything else, which is physicality. And they need to get over the line.
The three centres, well, four if you... because we can now assume Owen Farrell is probably the number 112 in that squad, or at least is one of the centres. But if you include Owen Farrell, the four centres are Owen Farrell, Bundiaki, Robbie Henshaw, Chris Harris. That's four big men.
Yeah. Now, on that, I was talking to a professional centre today. Someone who does this for a living. Someone who pays his mortgage by being a centre. He wasn't particularly impressed with the four selections because obviously none of them are ball players, if you think about it. I mean, where are they going to get the extra ball player from? Because there isn't one who sits at fullback looking at this. Maybe Stuart Hogg, because he does flip between 10 and 15.
But you think back to Warren Gatland Lions squads before, and like I instantly thought, Jamie Roberts, Jonathan Davis, one of the best Lions centre pairings there's been. Jamie Roberts in South Africa 12 years ago as well. So it's you don't necessarily need it. And particularly, you've talked about it before, having to get things together and have a simple game plan that 37 guys can execute well in a short time frame.
Yeah, there is something to that, isn't there?
Maybe it will be a little bit more like that old school thing. And also, South Africa play very much that sort of traditional centre thing going on with a big old hard running 12.
And also, there is Owen Farrell. So it makes me think that perhaps Owen Farrell is destined for 12, even if he is picked as a 10. Yeah. So I don't know. The answer is I don't know. I didn't see this squad selected as it is coming.
There was Bundiaki, and yeah, his physical attributes have got him in the squad. The Elliot Daly one.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's for versatility, right? In a small squad. Because I don't think he's first choice in any position, but the fact he can play in pretty much 13 out, he can cover all positions. He might be the ideal man to be number 23.
I think Elliot Daly might be one of those players like, who the hell is the guy who used to play at Ulster who and Ospreys and was awesome, just always got picked.
Jarrod Payne?
No, winger. No.
Tommy Bow,
there you go.
Yeah.
I think he might be one of those. I think he is a good enough player that he gets picked on his talent alone to play on the wing. I think where he's gone wrong in the last year or so, or 2 years or 3 years, is he's been forced into the 15 jersey.
Yeah, 100%.
And therefore, we don't see the best of him. Now, if he's back on the wing, he is absolutely lethal. And people always talk about moving him into 13. Well, I guess you could do that. I definitely think he's an option on the bench, but I think him and Anthony Watson on either wing is electric. Oh, there again, as is Josh Adams.
That's
Rhys Summit.
That's the one area. Like, bearing in mind, I'm giving myself a little out here because that he picked a 37th man. So every single one. That's the area I was most pleased with in my selection. I got all six of the back three nailed on.
Did you? Good.
I called no Johnny May. I called Duan van der Merwe and had Josh Adams in.
Yeah, well, Duan is...
Iron Du.
Not sure he's going to play a test. What do you think?
No.
He's just a bit of a calamity, in my mind.
Well, no, it's interesting. I looked at some of the statistics from the Six Nations, and he only missed a couple of tackles. I think he's potentially liable to be out of position. I've said already, I think it's the three fullbacks will be the test starters. Watson, Williams, Hogg. They're your back three.
Watson, Williams... Hogg. So I think it's Hogg, Watson.
And Rhys Summit, is that what you're saying?
I could go Daly. I could pick anything. They're awesome.
Yeah, they
are. Adams is class. They're all awesome.
Who's the other ones? So we've got Elliot Daly. We've got Bundyaki. Johnny Hill. I didn't see that one coming.
No.
I definitely didn't.
Pretty sure I said I would have taken Johnny Hill because of his size.
You did.
And I think that's what he's there for, isn't he? Just a big, big man. Did you know he used to be at Gloucester?
No.
He's at Gloucester Academy and they let him go.
Wow.
Ugh. Make, heartbreaking, isn't it?
Wow.
You get academy credits, you get England credits, you get a big man, you probably get a hometown discount.
Well, they've got him as a good left foot kicking option as well inside, which is important. And also someone else in the pack, let's mention, Courtney Laws. How do you want your money?
Yes.
How do you want your money? Do you want it wired? Do you want cash?
We've got a problem here, mate.
Yeah.
We've got a genuine problem. I'm not sure we can fix this. You're not allowed to gamble on rugby, are you?
is that getting me off the hook?
No.
I'll pay you.
It's not. It's getting me off the hook. Phil's going to have to pay me.
Oh, Phil, you're right, actually.
Phil's going to have to pay me.
If you missed the podcast at the week on our Lions pod, JB was so certain Courtney Laws would get selected that he bet me £10. Yeah. I'm not allowed to bet or gamble on rugby, so you're quite right. Phil will have to pay
£10.
Phil has
to pay that. That's the only way we can get on. It's fine.
Thanks for saving my job, JB. I appreciate that.
Well, thank Phil.
Cheers, Phil.
Here's something. I think I can offer in a bit of insight here. Not much insight, but a bit of insight. Genuinely, Courtney Laws did not know he was going, as you'll find out later on, because I've pre-recorded an interview with him. But I do know that the coaches were texting people, sniffing around. Now, what's interesting is they seem never to contact the player. It's always the conditioning staff. It's always their mates. It's always someone who, maybe if you're an international in a certain country where a coach is from, they'll text the player saying, hey, look, is, I don't know, make up the player.
So for example, I'm not saying this has happened, but is it McBride, one of the forwards coaches?
Yes.
Or he might text Dan Bigger and go, how's Courts doing?
Exactly right. So they don't text directly, but I have seen texts from coaches asking, how is XYZ doing? You know, and we're going to come down and look at it.
All I can say is, whether it, if it was my £10, let's say it's Phil's now, but let's, for the sake of it, I think that it would be, if I was allowed to gamble and spend that, it would be the happiest £10 I would hand over, because Courtney Laws is one of my favourite rugby players for both the way that he operates on the field, where he's absolutely brutal and fearless, and that's what's got him into the British and Irish Lions, but also because he's fearless off the field as well.
He's awesome, isn't he?
He's a true role model for rugby. What he's achieved and the way he holds himself. There is nobody more authentic than Courtney Laws on and off the field. And that's what I really admire about him. He takes so much crap from people for just speaking his mind and saying what he thinks with totally reasonable, rational thoughts. People give him all sorts of crap and he doesn't care. And then he goes out on the field and he behaves with the same kind of belligerent
intensity.
I absolutely love him. And with that, let's hear from Courtney then. JB, fair play for getting this, mate.
How are you, mate?
Very good, thank you.
So you were pretty certain, I guess I'll go make
earlier on in the week, that you weren't going to get a call.
Were you serious about that, or were you just playing it cool?
Yeah, I was serious because I haven't played any rugby. Do you know what I mean? Like, I played two games for England in the last year. So I just didn't think that with the form that some of the other guys were in, that he'd go with somebody that hadn't played much rugby. I know, like, I've got a lot of history in that, but then always in the back of my mind, I was like, I'm probably not a bad pick because I can play six, I can play second row. There's nobody else really like me still in terms of the physicality, ball carrying, big hitting, and can still jump in the line out kind of stuff. So I knew I had that going for me and that I might get in because of that, but I didn't see it.
That's basically exactly what I thought, which is how are you going to go about beating South Africa? Well, you're going to need something. And I'm basically in the same, I had the same line of thought as you, which is it's almost like a necessity.
Yeah.
Now, last time South Africa played, I can't believe this. Last time South Africa played, it was World Cup final. Obviously,
yes,
you were on the wrong end of that.
Do you have a score to settle with them personally? And also, how do you go about beating them now you know what you know?
I wouldn't say I've got a personal score to settle, although, of course, I'm a competitive person and, you know, we're going there to win 100%. So, and then in terms of going about beating them, I think first and foremost, you have to match them physically. And then you have to, I guess, be able to put your game plan onto them and execute it properly. And I think with the quality of player that we've got and the kind of wheels and power we've got in the backs there, we're going to be all right. As long as we match them in the forwards physically and you know, scrum line out operates well, then we're definitely going to give ourselves a shot.
Now, I was lucky enough to chat to Bigger earlier on today. He says it's really interesting, and I guess it applies to you too, because you're in a similar sort of cap bracket, which is, like, he's getting to a place in his career now where people don't even text him now when he plays international. It's just one of those things. Yeah. Lions is a different thing altogether. So how busy have you been after your name was announced in training?
Yeah, I've had a lot. I've still not got through all the replies yet. But yeah, loads. Literally, my phone's been going off constantly.
It's absolutely incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, it's mad. But it is one of them things. It is like the pinnacle of a kind of Northern Hemisphere team, or, you know, the British Lions. It's, if you live on this little island, this is the pinnacle of your rugby, and it comes around once every 4 years. And not only have you got to be fit, you've got to be in form. You've got to be better than the other players. Do you know what I mean? And you've got to, yeah. And it's just, there's no real way of describing how, you know, difficult it is to be a British and Irish Lion.
Yeah. Now, we spoke about this briefly before. You're not a massive sports fan, but you do love playing the game.
Yes. Yeah, very much. I'm not a big like fan of watching sports and stuff like that. I'm just a good competitor. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I want to play, I want to win, and I want to get better. Whatever I do, whatever sport it is, and I love playing rugby, and I love doing that exact thing. I want to better. I want to be better. I'm always striving to get better and improve myself. And I love team sports as well, because I like being able to do my part for the team.
Mm. Yeah, I'm always amazed when I say, like, hey, Courts, have you watched Saints? And you go, no, I've not got BT Sport. It just blows my mind. It blows my mind that the only way you can get really into the Lions is if you're picked and you're gonna play for them, which is absolutely awesome.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's class. Yeah.
Do you feel any additional pressure going into this one?
Not really. I mean, I suppose I would. I feel like, I don't feel like it's a pressure, but I feel like I've just got to go and kind of show why I've been picked.
Mm.
But I've got no doubt in my mind that I'm capable of doing that. So I'm not, I don't feel any pressured by it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Now, yeah. I remember looking at all the social media coming out of England during the World Cup, and it just looked like you were all really well looked after, very happy camp, and part of that was being able to do all the bits and pieces that you do on tour, whether it be, you know, eating sushi or, you know, whatever it is. How was the last international camp that you went to? And do you think that all this COVID stuff and the bubbles is going to be more difficult for the Lions?
Yeah, I think so, definitely. And I think, I don't know exactly how it's going to work yet, but depending on how much time you're going to have to be away from, especially with so many players, the families and stuff like that, it's going to get interesting. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, only time will tell, because I don't know exactly what's going to happen yet. But in the Six Nations, it was quite tough because obviously you had really reduced kind of social time and stuff, like, dramatically. And while that's didn't really bother me, because I'm happy either way. Like,
yeah,
I'm quite happy in my own company, and I'm quite happy chilling with the lads and being social. So it didn't bother me. I just spent more time than I normally would in my room. But I know a lot of boys really struggled, and I think that really kind of, I don't know, showed on the pitch. Yeah,
I think it's a weird one, isn't it? Right, because I think that the traditional idea of the Lions, because they're much longer tours than, say, England go away. So, you need a tourist, you need a bit of a lad, someone who's fun to be around. And that's, I don't disagree with that. I do think with these bubbles, though, maybe the profile of the Lions has to be a little bit more professional. Not that not anyway, but you can't really be desperate to get out. I think you've got to be focused on what's going on around you.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I suppose we certainly haven't got any husks this year, but we'll see. We'll see what the boys are like. Hopefully, if we're in our bubble, we can just crack on. Do you know what I mean? We can spend time together and that. We'll see what happens.
Now, when you're with England, training is brutal, isn't it? It's not like your club training. It is like a level above. Yeah. When you go to the Lions, do they lay off you a bit? Because I guess you're already the best. I mean, you're already the best of the four nations anyway. If you're not fit by this point, is there any point in beasting you? What is the regime? Where do they think they're going to get the most out of you as a team?
I remember the first couple of weeks, or I didn't play in the first game that we had on tour, and I remember we did a training session that was quite tough and had a bit of fitness in it and that. Nothing like unbelievable, but it was pretty tough. But generally, no, the camps are not as, or in my experience from the last tour, England camps quite a bit tougher, yeah. The sessions, you are a lot more physical, a lot more intense. And I think that, it's just two very different teams, to be honest. And I think the Lions, although it's obviously we want to be, we're there for a reason, it's also there to be really enjoyed. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's something that happens once every 4 years. And I think everyone wants to go out there and enjoy it and really, really appreciate being out there. And it's not the same way you do it every, I don't know, 3 months every year. It's not the same. You do this, maybe 3 months every 4 years. So you don't want to go out there and get flogged. If you're lucky, yeah.
Yeah. So what, in your experience then, what is the difference between an international camp and the Lions camp? Are they looking at the players as individuals, as in he's really good, he's really good? Are they looking at you in terms of how quickly can you settle into partnerships, how quickly can you build cohesion?
I'm not sure. I think it's probably a mix of both. I know there's obviously occasions where players will be in the team because they have good kind of cohesion or leadership or anything like that. And therefore you might be left out if you're not as, even if you're more, on better form or whatever, but generally they'll pick the best form players. And I think that's the best way to go about it.
Now, important stuff. Are your kids old enough to understand what's going on now?
No.
Really? What a waste.
No, so my missus tried to explain to the kids, well, she did explain to them, but they still didn't really get it. Like, my oldest is 7 and my little boy's 6. And so while they understand that I've got in this team that's quite hard to get into, they don't know much. They don't understand this much beyond that,
For all that they know, you're just playing at the local rugby club.
Yeah,
just going away on holiday. Brilliant. and who was the first? Who was the first person you phoned? Did your parents watch the announcement live, or did they wait for you to call, or how did that go down?
I don't know. My mum texted me because I was training, and then I came back and I called my missus and that. So she was the first person I spoke to, and then I spoke to my mum since then. But I don't know how they watched it actually. But it's, it was pretty much 5 minutes after it's been announced. Everybody knows anyway, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty amazing stuff. And at no point did the coaches contact you to see how you were doing? I mean, actually, I think I've got a bit of an insight here. So I think the coaches text other people around the camp, but they don't text the player themselves, is my feeling.
Yeah, that is exactly what happened. So, so they basically asked my conditioner where I was at. I'm not sure when, like a couple of weeks ago or something. and was asking where I'm at, what way. He didn't tell me until after the announcement and stuff, but was asking my weight and bits and details and stuff. So, yeah, they're in touch with the people around, and the coaches knew before I did. The coaches knew before.
Oh, did they?
But nobody. I was down in the coaching room like, yeah, I don't think I'm going, lads. And they already knew.
Everyone goes silent and looks at the floor.
Yeah, literally. But no, it's all...
And how is your fitness and how is your weight? Do you feel that you're underweight? Do you need to put some more on? In fact, I hear you've been working on your legs a lot.
Yeah, I've been really trying to not necessarily put lots of weight on my legs or anything like that, because I'm never going to have really big legs, but just get strong, maybe put a little bit of timber on. I'm heavy at the minute. I'm about 118.
Good.
Weighed in 118 and a half last week, but I want to drop that a little bit because I don't want to be too heavy. Felt a bit heavy running around. I want to be somewhere between 117, 118, and then I think that's right, a really good weight for me to kind of hit, make my hits, carry well and stuff, and still be mobile like I am, and still be able to use my feet and my footwork around contact area.
So Warren sits you down tomorrow, not to be presumptuous, of course, because we never know what's going to happen. There's still a long way to go till some test match yet. But he asks you, which position do you think you're going to be most effective at to beat the Springboks? What would you tell him?
I think I'll probably be most effective at six, because I'll add a little bit more weight to the scrum than a normal six. Obviously, I'm used to I suppose I haven't played second row in a good while now, but I packed down at second row my whole life, so I'd imagine I'll be a bit better at scrumming than most sixes, and I also give us that line-out option, as well as the physicality you need to play South Africa, and then you've got room for obviously Alan Wynne will most likely start, and then I don't know whoever the second row he wants to pick, there will be tight head lock. So I think I'll probably be most utilised at six, because there's so many second rows as well. So
they really are.
Yeah,
and you're not actually the biggest lot of second rows either. I was looking at the weights and sizes of the South Africans, and not that it comes down to, you know, top trumps, who's biggest, who's tallest, so on and so forth, but actually as a group they are a bit smaller than the South Africans, which is strange actually, because the Lions usually travel with a physical advantage.
No, definitely. I mean, we're all very mobile, you know. We're basically either really mobile, you know, athletic second rows, or we're workhorses and work rate players. So we're a bit lighter. I think most of us will probably be under 120 or around that mark. So yeah, not the biggest pack, second rows, but make up for it.
Now, with your spare time on tour, are you going to be packing any books?
I'm not really a big book man. I like watching like series and stuff, even documentaries and that, and playing games mostly.
Are you a gamer?
I am a gamer.
I was not aware of this. You strike me as too thoughtful to be a gamer.
No, mate. I'm all over the place, mate. I'm a mixed bag, mate. No, I love gaming always. And it's the same again. I like being competitive, so I like playing games that I can play with other people and be better than them at, basically.
Well, I was wondering if this is going to be the solution for the Lions, which is if everyone's going to be locked up in their rooms, make sure they've got the game systems that they actually need.
Yeah, definitely. But no, I'll be sweet. I'll have my setup going on out there, and I'll be happy as Larry.
What's the what is the main game between the England lads?
The England lads in the Six Nations was COD.
Of course it is. Classic. And last question, mate, because you've been more than generous with your time, and I know you need to get off. What was the bigger event for you today? Being announced for the Lions, or letting it known to the public that you own a Peloton?
This guy. Listen, I don't own the Peloton. Right?
Sounds like you do.
It was my missus' birthday present, and I'm glad it arrived today because she's going to have to look after the kids while I'm away. So Hey, I'm going to be buying plenty more things that my missus needs before I leave. I promise you.
Yeah,
that,
yeah. I bet. Well, look, I won't tell the world about you using Peloton if you don't tell anyone about my CrossFit, and we'll leave it there.
Okay, sounds good, bro. You got to do it.
Sam, mate, congratulations. Great news for Cheers. You. Great news for your family. And yeah, enjoy it, mate. I'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you, mate. Appreciate it. Take it easy, mate.
Mate, well done. What a guy.
Well, it wasn't really me doing much, is it?
No, it's great. It's really good. I really enjoyed that interview. And I can only commend you for that and for also for not just going, I love you, at the end. Because I'd have been tempted.
See you soon.
I'd have been tempted. I love you. What's the Peloton story? Yeah. What's going on there?
He bought a Peloton.
Yeah, well, clearly. But how did you know he bought a Peloton?
Because we tried to do the interview at 6 o'clock. And then the phone went dead. And he said, yeah, sorry, mate, my wife's got a Peloton. I was like, you got a Peloton? You've got a Peloton? You?
You're trying to put weight on your legs.
Yeah. So, do you know what? Serious note, he will end up with over 100 caps, 2 Lions tours, and just doesn't get the recognition for it at all.
He doesn't get the recognition for it. And as I sort of hinted at earlier, there'll still be a bunch of so-called rugby fans who will malign the guy. But mm-hmm. I don't know how you can think anything other than just huge respect for the man.
Now,
spoke really well.
The fact that he's in the team, and the fact that Johnny Hill's there tells me they want to do something. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think Courtney actually summed it up perfectly when he said they've either got work rate players who are just going to hit rucks for days and just keep going, massive engines. And Johnny Hill is one. Alan Wynne-Jones is another. Tyde Burn's a bit of a balance. But actually, all you've got like really mobile guys with very unique skill sets, really athletic, like Marrow, like Courtney, like Tyde Burn. So, yeah, it's really interesting. And Henderson is a workhorse as well. There you
yeah,
go.
So there's some really strange things going on here, because of course, I'm just focused on the second rows, because I honestly think this is where it's going to be won or lost. I think those South African second rows are so high quality and they're so good that they have, well, 3 starting. I mean, you could easily put, well, depends. Do you call Peter Steph to toy a second row? Probably not, but, you know, he's absolutely enormous. Then you've got Mostar on the bench. I think Snaiman's injured for the entire tour. Mm. Not that it matters, because they've probably got 6 or 7 other massive guys to bring in.
100%. Too. It's quite interesting that Courtney said what you need to do, and a great question, what have you learnt from, you know, losing in the final? And he said you've got to match them physically and then impose your own game on top. There's been quite a lot of people that are saying, and when I was making the series of videos, quite a few of the comments when I was going, you need robust centres. That's why I've picked the centres I've picked. You need solid, hard centres. People go, no, you need to play a different game. You can't fight
what
fire.
What is this mythical game?
Yeah.
What is this?
Well, I mean, in 97, they did play a quicker game. They had a more mobile front five, but they still had a massive back row and they had Scott Gibbs in the centre. So yeah. You need hardness.
I don't disagree that sometimes a mobile team can beat a bigger team. It's very rare at international level because everybody's bloody good.
Well, as we talked about in the podcast
this
weekend,
everybody's bloody
good. You need
good.
Both. You need both. That's it. You need both. Africa have got Colby and Mpimpi.
Get over the gain line. And if you get over the gain line, then have a conference about how to be creative. But don't do the creative stuff. Like, yeah, here we go. Going to be super creative. No. Get over the gain line.
Let's talk Sam Simmons and that back row then in terms of getting over the gain line. Well, he's picked... Who do you... Well, okay. I think Sam Simmons might be the 37th name on the list because he picked one more player than he said he was going to. And I just look at that and go, the 3 7s that he took, Curry, Tipperick, Watson, they picked themselves because they're class. Mm. The 3 number 8s, however, I thought...
All very different, aren't they?
I didn't think he would take 3 8s.
And they're all very different 8s.
Yeah.
So let's assume Falatel starts, like a Lifetime Achievement Award, because, yep. You know,
yeah, he will.
So we assume that he starts. Conan and Simmons are very different.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think of when you think of Simmons?
Fast.
Energy.
Elusive. Energy, yeah. Explosive.
Yeah. And I wonder if they have...
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picked him for a job. Because let's be honest, I'm sure people will disagree with this. If you're picking a Lions tour, a Lions squad, your first port of call is always the current internationals. So if you're going to have like a midweek game, you would probably go and get the current international who's the third best international. If you're going to get someone outside of the squad to bring in, well, there's no point in bringing Sam Simmons in to play the midweek in internationals. I'd say another guy has earned that. You bring him in because you want him to play a part in the tests. I'm certain on that.
That's a really that's kind of what I'm at. I think he was sort of thinking, and again, we talk about the size of South Africa and you have to match them. I think actually Jack Conan is the second best number eight out of the four home nations from what we saw in the Six Nations. There's no question. But Sam Simmons has got such a unique skill set. I think you might be right.
Yeah.
He's a little secret weapon.
Energy, energy, energy.
Yeah.
And I wonder how they're going to stitch it. I mean, obviously, we've just spent God knows how long guessing who's going to be in the squad. Well, now we need to guess who's going to be in the test team. And, I can't help but think Hill is there for a reason, Simmons is there for a reason. But what reason it is, I don't know. Maybe they come off the bench. But Hill can work hard. That's the other thing as well. Yeah. Really hard.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Henderson will possibly be the bench man there. But anyway, it's really, really good. I was delighted to see Sam Simmons there. There was one point made by a long-time listener, Eddie Stevens, who said that had Eddie Jones been the Lions coach and picked these 37 players, loads of people would have kicked off because there's 11 Englishmen.
Make no mistake about this. Politics is at play here. I have no doubt the next England coach is going to be Warren Gatland. There is no doubt in my mind. They have the biggest budgets. They have the best players. He is the best coach. He knows them all. If you can do some favours now, that'll come back.
No.
The best thing
for his reputation is winning a Lions series in South Africa. So he's not going to be...
And the second
he's
best,
not going to sacrifice that for what might be happening in the future.
Well, I don't think this squad selection, particularly Sam Simmons, paints Eddie Jones in a good light, particularly if he wins.
But it is only Sam Simmons, because actually, what I thought, the reverse of that is, in a funny way, this Lions squad selection vindicates Eddie Jones a bit, because if you take Sam Simmons out of the equation, there's five Saracens guys that are going.
Yeah, that's a bloody good point.
And Eddie Jones persevered with them, and Warren Gatland is persevering with them.
I do... I'm more confident about this team now I've seen it on paper than before. However, I wouldn't have picked this many Saracens. I would have gone with Itoje.
Farrell, come on.
Not for me. No. I don't think he's... Is there as a backup fly-off, do you reckon?
No Vunipola?
Mako, perhaps? I would rather take... On current form, I would probably take Marla. Mm-hmm. So, no, there's only one Saracen. Oh, hang on. I would maybe take Elliot Daly. I would maybe take him. And I would maybe... I mean, I can honestly see why you would want Farrell. I have now come to the conclusion, as I said in that interview, all the guys you want for this tour, the ultra-professionals, because, you know, do you really want a load of guys who are 23, at the height of their career, wanting to go out into Cape Town, or do you want Johnny May, who just wants his foam roller to stretch out his hamstring? I don't know.
Tinder.za.
Yeah. Which one is safer for COVID bubbles? George Ford, Johnny May, Owen Farrell. They are safest for COVID bubbles.
Yeah. Well, it was as well, Scottish fans will be delighted to see eight Scottish players in the squad.
And rightly so. I mean, I think every one of them.
Yeah, I don't argue with any of them. And in the squads that I picked, I had five Scottish players. However, in the final video that I did, finalising my squad, I was like, Sutherland, I could totally see it loose head, and Ferguson, I could totally see it tight head. So, but yeah, fair play Scotland.
Yeah, Ferguson, I struggle, maybe off the bench.
Well, he's the one that took the place of Sinclair.
Can we just talk about something really serious?
Yeah, go on.
Why are they doing the names in alphabetical order? It's absolutely ridiculous.
How would you do it? Like position by
position? Position-wise, they've got numbers. They've got numbers, actual numbers. Do it by the numbers. I don't like looking at my squad and going, hang on, who are the tight heads here? And you've got to go through God knows how many players. Do it by the numbers. It's ridiculous.
Well, then he might be giving, like Courtney might be going, Courtney's sort of both, and so's Tyke Byrne, maybe both, second row and back row. Owen Farrell, 10, 12.
That is a good point. Okay, tighter props, loose. Front rows, second rows, back rows. Front rows, back fives. Something like that.
Yeah.
We don't need to do it in alphabetical order.
It was nice to hear Courtney talk about the sort of tradition, it being the pinnacle, and I thought it was quite a nice and very... very appropriate little juxtaposition today that you had this current crop of Lions being picked on the same day of John Daw's funeral. The only Lions captain ever to win in New Zealand, and one of only five captains of any rugby side to win a Test series in New Zealand. So he had his funeral today, and that's the one thing about the Lions: the tradition, the history. It was great. We've got a big announcement. We've got a Lions-based announcement, actually. Let's do that now, JB.
Go for it.
So, on the weekend of the first Lions test, which is the third...
Let me get it up for you now. Starting on Friday, the 23rd of July.
There's something buzzing. Can you move that little... move the screen away from the wire. I wonder if that's where it's touching. That might be causing it. Yeah, it's gone away. That's it.
Wonderful.
That's what it is.
Sorry, let me get this right.
On. The weekend of.
Thank you. The 23rd of July.
Oh, so that's the final test.
Okay. Is it?
I think so, yeah.
I think it's the first test.
No, first test is like the... Oh, no, of course, because they're at the end of the month.
Yes. We are going.
Yeah, the weekend of the 23rd, 24th of July. That weekend.
Wait for it. It's a big one, this.
Yeah.
North Dorset Sevens.
Yeah. I quite like that. It's a little bit like Alan Partridge's North Norfolk Digital.
It's a little bit like Western Samoa.
Yeah, we're going to the North Dorset Sevens, where we are entering an Egg Chasers team into the Social Cup.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll win that, obviously. Standard. We are going to be there for the weekend in Gillingham in Dorset. Nice part of the world and good crack. Loads of rugby teams and rugby fans, so you can enter your team right now. You can come along and play, and when we're there on the Sunday, they'll definitely be happening on the Sunday. We'll be doing a live podcast.
Yeah. Now, the podcast
is the podcast post Lions.
Post Lions, okay. Yeah. So on the Friday evening, we might have an event. We might even have a special rugby guest.
Yeah, to be confirmed
for you. Then we can all watch along the Lions, which would be great.
In amongst playing and drinking.
Exactly, things we enjoy. Sunday when we're hungover, we're going to try and attempt a podcast. And now this is a ticketed event. If you are a patron, we will give you all the information that you need.
Yeah, and this is where the support you've given us over this time comes back in. Because as has always been there on the Patreon thing, one of the things we want to do is start doing more live events. And we've said priority tickets for patrons. So patreon.com/eggchasers. And as JB said... if you are a patron,
we will give you all of the information and we look forward to seeing you there. You cannot tell South Dorset that this is
North
going
Dorset.
Down. We can't tell South Dorset.
Oh, no, God. We've got lots of listeners in South Dorset.
Huge beef. No, this is strictly for locals of North Dorset only.
Yeah. So, if you've got, wherever you're from, if you can cobble together a Sevens team to come down and play, have a weekend. Just having a good old time watching the
Lions.
Just come watch and drink. You can come and watch the Sevens and the Lions test and party and come and watch the live podcast. Or you can come along, get a team together. And I'm thinking maybe we need to start giving a shout out for player listeners. If you're a player...
You've got to be good, though. You can't be over 30.
You can't be under 30. No, isn't the Social Cup over 30 and over? Or is
yeah,
it anyone?
But we want to win it.
Oh, right.
So we can be over
30. We need someone to lower our average age, or you have to be really, really good.
Yeah, send in videos. If you've got an agent or if you get paid professionally, please send in.
We could get Rob Vickerman to play for us.
I thought about this. I wonder if Rob would be free. He might be. I'll fire him a text.
We'll reach out to Rob Vickerman.
Maybe he'd coach us. He'd be very impressed with what I bring to Sevens. I know he would.
Oh, I'm looking forward to getting out there on that paddock. So, yeah, we are, over the coming weeks, we'll be looking to recruit talent for the Egg Chasers team. We'll have to get a kit.
Oh God! This is really turning into an endeavor now. Yeah. Yes, all that stuff.
Anyway, all of that's coming. So you'll be, if you're a patron, patreon.com/eggchasers. All the details will be there. And other than that, keep an eye on at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. We'll leave links. But the North Dorset Sevens, 23rd, 24th, that weekend of July, Lions first test, rugby weekend. Let the boys play.
Let the boys play, indeed.
So on to the backs. Should we hear from Dan Bigger?
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's hear from Dan Bigger first. Fair play, JB, on this, mate.
First and foremost, congratulations, mate. How awesome.
Thank you. It's been a bit mad, really, because it's just been like we've been training and then sort of got back. And even though I picked the little one up from nursery at sort of 4 o'clock, and funnily enough, he's not particularly impressed with any of that news or anything. So it was a bit of an anticlimax coming home, really, sort of thing.
Yeah, doesn't really get it.
But no, really pleased. Really, really pleased, mate. Nice bit of news today.
It's amazing. It really is. Tell me how normal your morning was, and then tell me your experience of the day afterwards. Just how busy have you been?
The morning was actually quite chilled, because I really, and I've said this to loads and loads of people, but I was really quite, I just treated it like another day, especially because we were in training and we were sort of in work almost. So I just, and everyone was like, have people given you a heads up, or people must have given you a heads up? And then I was like, well, no, literally, it is what it is. You find out when you get told. Mm. So I really was quite chilled. I just thought, well, do you know what? If it comes, it's great. And I felt like I'd done my chances as much as I could have, really, over the last sort of month or two. And then when we started training, Chris Boyd called the squad in and just announced it in the middle of a huddle, and the boys sort of gave a bit of stick and everything like that. And then we just carried on. So the phone's been mental since then. I think it was like 84 WhatsApp messages or something.
Amazing.
So I didn't realise I had 84 contacts in my phone. So, but yeah, no, it's been a bit of a mad afternoon. It's been busy, but do you know what's been? It's been really nice just being able to come home and see the missus and the little one, and just spend a bit of time with them outside of all the manic sort of manic stuff.
Yeah, I think from outside looking in, everyone asks the players, how much does it mean? What's it like to be a Lion, so on and so forth. I think the one thing which gives you an idea of the magnitude of it is actually when you ask people, what was on your WhatsApp? And when you say 80 messages, I think that's when you really get a idea of how much it means to maybe more so to people outside of the game rather than the people actually playing the game.
Yeah, 100%, mate. It's funny, like, I've got to the stage now in my career where I don't even get, like, a congratulations from my mum or my missus if I get in the Welsh squad or, like, we win a game. It's literally got to that stage. Like some games, they don't even really watch properly. So I'm at that stage in my career now. But I suppose, yeah, like you said, it does make, it makes you realise, I suppose, how popular it was. And if I'm honest, I wasn't expecting to have as many, because I thought, I'd been on it on the tour before, and I just thought maybe it wouldn't be as mad as what it was, but it just shows how special it is. And also, I think the really special thing about it is not knowing until that live announcement.
Yes.
Which is really different, because if you've made squads or been dropped from squads or the coaches are going in a different direction, normally you get a bit of a phone call the night before, or you get a tip off saying, oh, look, you're going to be picked to play on Saturday, get your head on or whatever. Whereas this is just literally you're like anybody else in the country, just tuned in and waiting to hear your name out. So that's what makes it really special, I think.
Does this tour feel a bit different to you? Because last time, you didn't make the bench, unfortunately, for the tests. But this time, I mean, I know you would never say this, but I'm going to say it for you. I think you're the prohibitive favourite to start. It does feel like you're just in a much better position than last time.
I think the first thing we should never do is sort of try to second guess Warren Gatland, I think.
Yeah, very wise, very wise.
The squad selection and sort of bolters and things he's chucked out there, you never quite know, and I'd never sort of count. But like I said at the start of the show, I feel like I'm in really good nick at the minute, and that's why I've got a little bit of a knock on my knee at the minute, but I'm just desperate to play Saturday, because when you know what it's like when you're in good form and when you play, you know if you're playing well or if you're playing poorly, and when you're playing well, you want to really try and keep that momentum going and not sort of stop that momentum.
Yeah.
And I suppose it is a real big game to be able to get into that test.
Yeah.
Into that setup for this tour. That would be a huge aim, because it was I thought I played some really good rugby on the 2017 tour, but I was up against Owen and Johnny in their probably in their absolute sort of peak, really, in terms of just two very, very difficult people to get above, and especially with the way the series went, it was difficult to get a sniff. So that would be a huge aim, and I think that's something that I'm really looking to try and put a place. But it's the same for every one of the 37 selected, isn't it? They're all stepping foot on that plane to try and get into that test 23. So you know, we're all in the same boat, and it's just who are going to be the lucky ones, or who can show a bit of form, or carry that goal, who can stay fit as well. That's going to be a big thing before the actual play.
Absolutely huge. I mean, you've got five rounds of Premiership left, and you know, that must always be a concern. I think I'll finish with this, because I said 5 minutes, and I've got to do bath time. You've got to do bath time, so. where better to end than Mike Phillips, who said today, or yesterday, I think, if you're worried about becoming a lion, you're not a lion. Lions know. Classic Mike Phillips quote.
That sounds like Phil's in that.
When someone read that to me, I laughed. In your heart of heart, did you actually know? Were you pretty confident?
I certainly felt like I'd done enough, and I felt like my form was good, sort of thing. Whereas probably 4 years ago, I felt like I was not picked on a bit of a reputation, but I felt like there were stages in that sort of leading up to the selection and maybe 18 months before where I was in much better form than when I was selected. So it was a really nervous wait and a really sort of, you know, wait to see if your name's called out and really anxious. Whereas today was a little bit more confident, but also not confident in being named, but confident that I'd done more for my cause, if that makes sense. So it was like, well, if the coaches didn't decide to go down that route with me, then I was like, well, do you know what? I'm quite at ease with that, because my form would be really good. Can't have done a huge amount more, and that's fine. So I was fairly confident, because I felt like I'd done my cause a lot of good. But I suppose until your name is called out, especially with, you know, especially with the high profile emissions that that have been left out for this tour, you definitely never secure. So always fairly confident that I did enough, but like you said, you're never 100% sure until you get called up.
I'm absolutely delighted for you, and delighted for your family too. So go well, enjoy the rest of the season, and I hope to see you playing in South Africa in the tests.
Fingers crossed, mate. Thank you. Anything you need, just give us a shout as well.
Northampton Saints have got a couple of fine gentlemen, haven't they? Fine human beings.
Dan Biggar is remarkably kind with his time, considering everything that he's got on. I can only imagine the amount of stuff that he's had to do today.
Well, I think that's testament to you, mate, because he didn't have to say yes.
He did. He did.
Well,
I wasn't taking a no.
Well, fair play. I really enjoyed, genuinely really enjoyed sitting and listening to those two chats. Really did.
Yeah.
What a guy.
I've got a list for you.
Yeah, go on.
Okay, I'm going to read this to you now. Give me 2 seconds. So I pull this up. This is great podcasting, isn't it? This dead space. Nothing is better.
Dead air is a crime.
Here we go. So, I'm going to read you a list of lads who were not taken. So this is my 15 of the unselected. Hey, listen how good this team is.
Okay.
Genge, McNally, Sinclair, Gray, Ryan, Underhill, Navidi, my word, Billy.
And see, Stander can't even get in the not taken 15.
Well, get this. Williams, Sexton or Ford, Sexton or Ford.
Sexton or Ford.
You could play a Ford Sexton axis. And Stockdale, Tua Lange, Ringrose or Slade.
Wow.
May. Keenan?
Wow.
So, yeah.
Which one of those do you feel... Because, I mean, you've got to be excited for every name that was called out, and you've got to feel a tinge of sadness for the people that missed out. That said, there will be half a dozen people that are part of the squad, at least, I would imagine, between now and the tour actually happening, or during the tour, obviously, with injuries. But who on that list that you just mentioned there do you feel most sympathy with, if you had to pick one?
Sinclair would be mine.
Okay.
I mean, do I? I feel there's two ways to look at this. Do you feel sympathy with them because they should have gone, or would you have taken them? So I do feel sympathy for him because he obviously went last time. He was a very young man when he went last time, wasn't he? He was the bolter, actually.
Yeah. And also in the World Cup final against South Africa, he went off injured really early, so we'll never know how he might have got on.
And does he make a material difference? He probably... I don't know. The answer is I don't know. Anyway, I would just say this. Since he's gone to Bristol, it's rare that you go from a club which was struggling when he left Harlequins into an environment like Bristol. He's doing well, but is he setting the world alight? Not really. He doesn't look quite as devastating in his club game. I don't think he has certainly his last season in Harlequins, as he does in the international game. So I don't know how you read that, whether you say, okay, he's had a few good England performances, we should definitely take this guy, or do you look at his club game? Because if you did look at his club game, they probably have made the right decision. And that's a tough one to take for him, because we know what a good player he is.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, he was very humble in the little tweet he put out and wished the guys the best, and said, he said, I'm extremely disappointed, but, you know, I'm going to focus on what I can control, and I wish all the best to the guys there. And there's a good chance he is next cab off the rank if Porter, Ferguson or Furlong go down. There he is. So, but the one I think I feel most sympathy for is, well, probably on form and on how they've been playing, I think Henry Slade.
Yeah, Slade's good. Slade looks like a lion. He sounds like a lion.
He does.
Just
he
everything
does.
About him is liony.
But it's Johnny May. Not because, I mean, I didn't pick him in my squad. I picked the same back three that Warren Gatland did. But just because the drop-off in his performance in a year, 1 year ago, or the World Cup, him and Cheslin Kolbe were the two wingers in a World 15.
Well, it's not just him who's in that situation. James Ryan has been in everyone's, not just Lions squad, but probably their starting lion.
Yeah, ever since New Zealand tour finished, everyone was saying Itoji Ryan second row.
Ryan, maybe captain.
Yeah.
Maybe captain.
Yeah, you're right. And so, but to go from being the best winger in the Northern Hemisphere a year ago to being not in the Lions squad, I've got a feel for Johnny May.
Yeah. The one thing I love about Lions, and it's really starting to... I'm really starting to get Lions fever now. Now, that isn't a variant of COVID-19. It's just how I feel about the Lions. Is every squad has a hierarchy. Every squad. Leicester Tigers, Sale Sharks, England, Wales. There is no hierarchy in the Lions because every one of these guys expects to play. Yeah. It's not like you go in and, like, I am the starter here. Because, I mean, Owen Farrell might think he's the starter. But I'm telling you now, Dan Biggar definitely thinks he's the starter. And if you think that Finn Russell is happy to play second fiddle, well, think again. One of those guys has to be a backup, and one of those guys won't even be starting. That's the fascinating part. Forget the nationalism part. That's boring. It's the who starts. Like, you know, there is no room for stepping for a backward step. Forget the backward step in the test match. In training.
And I think that might be a little bit why, as Courtney Laws hinted earlier, that yes, it's the training's tough, but it's not quite as intense as international, because that competitive edge, when you get the most competitive people in four countries all fighting each other for one spot, you can imagine they would legitimately, and I'm not knocking this is the mentality you have to get to that level in the first place, they would want to take they would want to take their opponent out, or at least manhandle them.
Wales in the World Cup, where they did terrible. Not the last one. Not one before that. The one before that, right?
2011.
Yes. they were staying in France, and they, well, obviously they were, everyone was, and they were cycling to and from the centre of, I think they were in Nice, were they, or somewhere. Anyway, if that was Lions, and I was on the Lions tour, and if someone could, I'd be cutting brake cables. Yeah. Go on, mate. Just go, get on the hill. Go as fast as you can. I'd be locking their doors. I'd be cutting the toes off their socks.
Exactly.
I'd be the worst tourist.
Yeah, exactly.
But I want to play.
Yeah, yeah. Elsewhere in that back line, isn't it? There's not the centres we've already discussed. That was the main sort of talking point. Everything else was not too much of a surprise in the back line. Even on a day when actually no rugby actually happened. The level of attention, the level of excitement, the enthusiasm, the passion, tradition, history, all of those things. It's one of those days that, as you say, I think Lions fever's right. You kind of fall in love with the game a little bit more.
And the last thing I'll say on this, the best part of the day is not the announcing of the team. It's the reaction of the teammates to their mate going. That's the best part. It's not even the reaction of the guy going. Because sometimes they expect it. It's how happy their mates are to see them go.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And again, oh God, I can't stop thinking of Johnny May, because he would have been, you know, as a mate and a teammate, he would have been really happy for Chris Harris and Lewis Rees-Sammet. But then he's
devastating, isn't it?
It's cruel, isn't it? It's cruel, but that's sport, isn't it? And that's the way these guys are wired.
Yeah,
they're absolute winners.
Do you know what? If I had a Lions tour on the line and I've got five more Premiership matches, don't think I'm playing those Premiership matches.
You've said that before.
Not a hope.
Yeah, you said that before. When was it you said that about Courtney? Don't play.
Courtney Law was a man who played against each other, didn't they? Before
the Six Nations.
No, the Nations Cup or whatever it was.
The Autumn Nations Cup, that's right.
Yeah, don't risk $20,000 a game. Don't do it. Just say no. Just say no. No one's going to blame you for it. Fill up your pension.
You're right. Well, that's the way they're wired, as we've heard. Fair play on getting those two interviews. Let's wrap this pod up then. I'm looking forward to seeing what Phil has to say at the weekend. Between now and then, a quick reminder, we're going to be at the North Dorset Sevens. Go to the North Dorset Sevens. Just Google North Dorset Sevens. Get yourself a team entered. Get yourself a ticket to come along for the weekend. Patreon.com/eggchasers. We'll put up the details of how to get your ticket for the live show. Thank you for your support there. We're on Twitter. Me and JB are going to keep putting up videos on YouTube. In fact, let's get Courtney Laws and Dan Biggar's videos up on our YouTube channel.
Let's do that. Yeah, absolutely. I recorded them both.
Yeah, we'll get those up on the YouTube channel. So go and subscribe there. Egg Chasers on YouTube. Rugby Podcast on Twitter. Thank you for listening. Let the boys play.
Let the boys play.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.